Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, good morning and welcome to Investing Simplified. This is the opportunity where you can pick up the phone, give us a call, ask us that question that's been keeping you up at night. You can give us a call at 503-417-9595, toll free 877-733-1011. Well, today, folks, we got a great treat for you. This is going to be an actual, just an all financial show today, because in studio with me is Bo Caldwell with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Morning, Bo.
Good morning, Chuck.
It's going to be you and me, so hopefully we get some calls.
Right, otherwise people are going to listen to us talk for the whole hour. And
that's not good. Yeah. So if you don't want to get too bored, you might want to pick up the phone, give us a call. If you're out there listening on the podcast, you can go on investingsimplifiedradio.com, and or you can do that locally here. I know we have people in Beaverton, Hillsborough, Clark County listening to us on the web. And you can ask a question right there on the website and text the question into us, or you can pick up the phone and give us a call toll-free at 877-733-1011. Well, I do want to mention that we still have books to give away. So if, and I've been giving them away every week, but if you want a copy of our two books, Investing Simplified and Retirement Made Simple, you can stop by the office or call, stop by, pick it up. No obligation, absolutely zero. And there's another book we have written by Rocky DeFrancisco, an attorney, who wrote a book called Peace of Mind Planning. And I wrote the foreword to it, but it's Rocky's book. So we have those available. If you want one, you can stop by, pick them up, no obligation. We don't require you to have an appointment to get a book. You just stop by, pick it up. And the reason we do that is knowledge is power. The more knowledge we give our investors, our clients, the better clients they are. I want my client informed as much as possible. And the more knowledge we can give them, the better clients they are. Right, Bo?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's the biggest key. We tell people don't invest in something you don't understand, and don't invest in something that your financial advisor doesn't understand. And if we can't make sure that folks understand their investment life, what they're investing in, what they're planning for, then they shouldn't be investing in it.
Right? Well, you know, it even goes, you know, and that's kind of been our philosophy all along. One of the other things is I had a person come in the other day, and they were having a whole lot of things going on in their life, nothing to do with investing, just a whole lot of illness in their family and things going on in their family. And it was our third time we got together, and it was kind of the time we, normally we would be setting up investment portfolios. And I told her, I said, look, you need to make these decisions when you have a clear mind. This is not the time. We told her to go home, think about it, relax, get her house in order, then come back. Hey, by the way, Bo, we got a call. I guess Harry agreed with us. Harry, you got an investing question.
Yeah, actually, I've got a couple. I've met a couple times with Chuck in the past, and we've just discussed pot stocks and that. And I do have an appointment coming up Tuesday with you, Bo. And one of the things that's fortunate, but I didn't know at the time when I made the appointment whether this was going to be available to happen or not, but I'm in the process of buying a business from an individual that I've worked for a year. It's a yard maintenance business. It's a small business because I'm semi-retired. I'm not going to work every day. And his business works, though, probably 2, maybe 3 days a week. And we're going to flip positions for a while. I'm going to be the boss, and he's going to be working for me. So I'll be buying him lunch instead of him buying me lunch.
I like it.
But so I just wanted to give you a heads up, because when I made the appointment, I basically was going to have you kind of peruse and look at my portfolio, because I finally achieved it. I've actually doubled my portfolio's value. It wasn't in 6 months, so it was 6.5 months.
Nice.
So I kind of wanted you to kind of look over and see if there's any tweaking I need and something. The thing that was really funny was one of the stocks that was the dog for the longest time. In fact, I got kind of ticked off, and I said, I'm going to buy $1,000 or 1,000 shares of this, and as soon as it hits this point where it had been the high point, that I'll sell it, you know, just to kind of recoup some of my losses that I've been getting from it. And it sat and it sat in 2.5 months, and then all of a sudden it was the stock that Altria invested in. And it made a nice pop, and that day it popped. Yeah, I hit and I sold 1,000 shares, and I made a nice little profit. But it's slowly been surely, and last little bit it's gone up, and I put a strike price to sell another 100 shares, and I got to thinking, well, it's probably going to hit this, and I could tweak it up a little more, you know, and within a few weeks. But I said, you know, sometimes you got to set your price, be satisfied with the price when it hits it, and, you know, live to fight another day in that. And you know, I said I could probably wait a month and it hit the thing again. But I've had experiences before when things are moving up and moving up and moving up, and you tweak it up, and then all of a sudden something happens, and it doesn't hit, and then it drops really quick. And so the thing is, don't be greedy. If you're happy if it hit the one thing, why not be happy when it hits it?
Absolutely. You took the words right out of my mouth when you said don't be greedy. A lot of times we get to that point where we've found a great stock, we've invested in a great company. You hit the nail on the head. Chuck and I tell all of our clients, if you're going to invest in individual stocks, you need to know when you're getting in and you need to know when you're getting out before you buy it. Because otherwise, like you said, you're going to end up, ooh, maybe I tweak it up, and then it never hits it, and then you miss out on.
This happened to me one time. I was doing that. I was tweaking up, and then all of a sudden, and this really confused me, because I did. I had prices that, in fact, I bought the thing, and then I put four different prices. I had them at 1,000 share increments that it would sell when it hit, and it was a penny stock, so at one point it would sell 10 cents higher, it would sell 10 cents higher, it would sell, and then 10 cents higher again, it would sell 4,000 shares. And I had 17,000 shares of the whole thing, and if it got to that, the other 9,000 shares would have been all paid for, and it would have been free and dough. And all of a sudden, that was the one that the first 1,000 I tweaked up a little bit and tweaked up. And then all of a sudden, one morning, all my sell orders were gone. I'm going, what's going on? And the location on my portfolio, it had moved. It was at the bottom. It had changed its symbol. Well, they've been doing some negotiating, I guess, and when they changed the symbol, it canceled the thing out. And when it was tweaked, it had dropped in price, because I think it confused a lot of people with the symbol change. I think in the long run it's going to be, because something's supposed to happen in the middle of March. And they're, I think, acquiring like 50-some percent of this one company. And so I think it is going to turn out. But it was just something I called the broker. I'm with Fidelity, and I called the broker, the individual that answered the phone. He didn't even know the question, the answer to the question. I said, when that symbol changed, did that cancel all the orders? And he said, well, I have to go check. Because that was my suspicion. And when he got back, yeah, that was it. When they, all you think, so I immediately had to go back in, and I put my things back in.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's good you were paying attention to it, because otherwise you might have, you know, missed out on having to do that. That happens a lot when, you know, those penny stocks, they get bought, especially, I think, in the pot stock realm. They're getting bought and sold and combining a lot of companies, and so you take one company that has one symbol, and then it becomes another company, or it joins with another company and gets a new symbol. And it's good to know. I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of folks may not know that when that happens. If you have, you know, sell stops or you have limits placed, they do cancel those orders.
Yeah, you got to keep your eyes on penny stocks, because they can change.
Well, one thing that I've done, I know a lot of people say when you buy a stock, a lot of times it's good to, you know, like either set your things in and forget it. But I'm one of these things, I even do this because I got into, I'm a numbers person. I like numbers and patterns and math. And every once in a while I like going to the casino. And so I kind of thought, well, I like roulette, the game of roulette. Because it's numbers and it's patterns. And there's no guarantees, you know, because that's why it's gambling. But to me, I've had dealers that tell me there are no patterns. And for me, the life of me, you know, if you see 9 of them in a row that are black, you can't tell me that's not a pattern, you know. But that doesn't mean the next one's going to be black, you know.
Right.
But there's a lot of times you can look at that. And so I'll be the opposite. I can go to a casino and I tell people, I don't come here to play. In other words, a lot of people feel that when they're at the table, they have to play every time. Mm-hmm. I can be there for 3 hours, and they've mentioned this to me too. I can be there 3 hours and not even put a play down. Because I look there and I'm studying, you know, and I'm seeing. In fact, when I was first there, I used to write down all the, you know, the things, and I could see, oh, you know, this is funny. When this doesn't happen for the longest time, then all of a sudden it does. Like one time I went there was a number that hadn't hit for 200 and some times.
Wow.
But when it did hit within an hour, it hit 4 more times.
That seems improbable.
Well, hey, Harry, we've got a couple more callers on the line that we got to get to. Thank you very much for giving us a call. We appreciate it. And
looking forward to seeing you on Tuesday.
Absolutely. Thanks, Harry. We've got another caller on the line here. Joseph's got a question about a house investment.
Yeah, hey, good morning, and thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
So I've got a house that it was my family home. It's there's no mortgage on it now. It's paid off. I've had the same renter in it for probably 8 years, never missed a payment, takes better care of it than I did. And the house is in Wyoming, by the way. And now he wants to buy the house, and he'll put a nice down payment down. Say the value is like $280,000. What would you think about me carrying the note on that house?
Well, what's your cost basis in the house? You inherited how long ago?
Well, let's see. I bought it like in 1981. Oh. Like for like maybe $80,000 or something like that.
Okay. And then you probably, if you were renting, have you been depreciating off the cost?
There's been some depreciation taken. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If this guy, you know this guy, and he's a good renter.
Yes.
And do they have the money to give you a down payment?
Yes, they would have a substantial down payment. Yep.
What kind of interest rate is he willing to pay you?
Well, you know, we haven't talked about that, and I'm kind of, you know, and he's been, like I say, he's been really, really such an excellent person to deal with.
Well, here's the thing. Right now, financing is relatively low.
Yes.
You know, he probably can get a, you know, if he can pay 20% down, you know, if he can pay 20% down, what's that, $56,000? If he can pay that down, he can finance on a conventional loan probably at less than 4.5%. Or,
right,
you know,
right.
So at least less than 5 anyway.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, are there reasons other than just the interest income? I mean, that's obviously important, but are there other reasons? Are there for tax purposes or other things? There's a reason that I would finance the note and take the take the income over a period of time rather than sell it outright? Or how
right,
that
yeah,
work?
That's in, called an installment sale. We kind of talked about that a little bit last week. Yeah, if you're doing it on an installment basis, yeah, then you can spread a little bit of the, you need to work with your CPA, but yeah, you can you can spread the capital gain that you'd have, because you'd have it, like Chuck said, if you've depreciated a lot. In terms of the recapture of the depreciation, I don't know if you can spread that out with the installment sale. That's a question for, I wish Kevin was here, we could ask him. But
yeah.
But okay. In terms of the overall capital gain from the purchase, from your original basis, yeah, you should be able to spread that out over if you are the note holder. Now, you're going to have interest income. You know, that's regular, just regular income, not capital gain on the interest part. But the portions of the principal that are paid over time, then you could spread that capital gain out.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Have you got time for one other easy one?
Sure.
Okay, other easy one is this. So thinking about putting some property, and in fact that house also, in some type of trust, and for the purpose of the trust, I really kind of want to get it set up so my children can handle it without facing probate right away. Is the trust a vehicle to do that? Or if I would die, My wife is alive also, so if my wife and I owned it and one of us died, does the trust dissolve immediately at that time?
No, what you'd be looking at is a living trust. And a living trust, as long as you and your wife are alive, it's a revocable trust. You can change it anytime you want. Normally, on the second to die, it becomes an irrevocable trust. And so it depends on how you have it set up. But here's the thing. If you leave that property to your children, when you both pass away, that property is going to get a stepped-up basis. They're going to have the property tax-free and probate-free.
Yeah.
It's what's called a
bypass of probate. If everything's in there and registered with the trust, then they don't go through probate. Now, they still have to settle all your other affairs. But the issue that comes is it doesn't remove it from your estate, though. And so depending on the level of estate tax, here in Oregon we have the $1 million limit, and that's not portable to your wife. So and I don't know where you guys are living, but that's a conversation with the attorney as well, as to have, to talk about, making sure that the portability of, because you each get $1 million of exemption in the state of Oregon. I don't know what state you're in and what the laws are there, but a lot of times that state exemption isn't portable. So as you're in the trust, if you set it up to be, sometimes they're called an AB trust. Sometimes they're called a credit shelter trust. It depends on the terminology that the estate attorney uses and what state you're in. But you can set that up in the trust so that way, if you were to pass away, then your wife can still use your exemption too.
Yeah. Okay. Good. The trust is still something I should look deeply into and get some advice from you guys.
Absolutely, with an attorney.
Excellent. Thank you so much for taking my call. You guys have a great day. Really appreciate your show.
Hey, thank you very much. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more questions, and Boer and I are going to talk. And don't forget, we are offering these free books. If you want to stop by the office, you can pick them up. Investing Simplified or Retirement Made Simple, and also Peace of Mind Investing. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Kevin Stege.
Well, we don't have Kevin in the studio with us today, and we're working on our introductions. We're going to be adding Bo to our system, and hopefully by next week we'll have some proper introductions there. But Kevin's out doing taxes, and for any of you that have already started filing your income taxes, you know that this is the time when CPAs and tax preparers are burning the midnight oil. This is when they've got to get all this stuff done in a very short period of time. And I'm glad our business isn't like that, because this got to be a stressful time for CPAs.
Absolutely. I feel like it's the time where they go home for dinner and then go back to the office till 10, 11 o'clock at night.
And it's just not a great thing, but that they all know going into the business, that's what it is. You know, I do want to point out that, you know, our firm, we've been doing estate planning since 1970, and we've been doing retirement planning and investment planning since 1975. So we've seen a lot of different markets. We've seen a lot of different things in the market. And I got to tell you, most investors in 2018 gave back a lot of the gains they made in 17. And so what's been going on since January, though, however, the markets have been coming back really well. 219 so far, the market closed on 2-1. The S&P closed at 2706. So the S&P year-to-date is up in the first month 7.97%. The Dow Jones closed at the 025K mark. I can remember, it seems like yesterday, when we were saying at the turn of the century that the Dow was going to hit 10,000 by 2000. Boy, it's 2.5 times higher. The Dow closed at 25063.89. It's up 7.44% year to date. Those are some really great numbers, folks. But I got to caution you, they're not going to stay that way all year. I mean, when you make 7% in 1 month, that's going at the rate of 84%. That is a rocket.
So what you're saying is you're not guaranteeing an 84% return?
No, I'm not. I'm not even guaranteeing a 7, because I still think, though, as I said, and I predicted this back last December, I predicted that last year would be a negative, and it ended up negative, and I predicted that this year was going to be a positive. And I think we're going to do a double-digit return. But it's not going to be in the 80s, I'll tell you that.
One, if it's going to be a double-digit return, that's really only to get to double digits. It's only 3% more for the rest of the year. So ostensibly, that's a relatively flat return for the rest of the year.
Yeah, 7, that helps my prediction.
If your prediction is going to be right, I would agree with you. I think it's even more so it's going to be, you know, it's going to be continued volatility. I don't see an end to that. That's normal. We've had this run over the last, you know, call it 10 years, basically since the bull market started, that's been relatively low volatility. We've had a couple of years where it kind of popped back in, you know, the flash crash. We had a little bit of volatility. We had some with the taper tantrum. We've had a lot of news-driven volatility. But up until this last year, we hadn't had real volatility. It's been a relatively smooth ride, and a lot of folks have been just chugging away and thinking, you know, everything's peachy keen, and if they haven't been prepared for volatility, you and I talked about this week, but that's something that everyone should be asking their financial advisor is, what's our plan for continued market volatility? As long as you have a plan, then that's key. Nobody's got the corner on the best ideas. We don't know exactly what's going to happen in the market. You do have your crystal ball prediction, but who knows if that's going to
come? No, we don't know. And you know, the main thing is, if you're working with a financial advisor, you need to have a strategy. You need to have a strategy that you understand, because it's your money. You need to have a strategy that works in both good times and bad times. It doesn't mean you're always going to be at the top. You're always going to make the highest rate of return. But hopefully, you're not going to make the lowest rate of return either. So you got to be somewhere in between. But consistently and consistently growing, that's the key to investing. You know, you're going to have the ups and downs, and unfortunately, last year we had a lot of volatility, and I think we are going to have a lot of volatility. I think the real key to me that's coming up is March 1st. If we get a deal with China, and we solve the trade situation with China, I think that could be something worldwide economically that could be good for the entire world. And so I'm really looking to March 1, that date, as a real, real strong date to what could happen in the economy. But, you know, if we go back and we look at, you know, the markets, and I've been saying this for some time, because to me, the market changed, the world changed in 2000 at the turn of the century. Prior to that time, we had pretty much a steady upflow market that just was consistently heading upward. And if you go back and you look at the S&P, you go back to 12/31/99, the S&P closed at 14/69/25. The S&P is up 4.66% per year. The 80 years before, it was double-digit return. And you take a look at the NASDAQ, that's the high-tech stocks, and you'd think that would be the rocket number. That would be the double-digit return, right? Well, if you go back to 12/31/99, it closed at 4,069.31. The NASDAQ, since the turn of the century, is up 4.34% per year. Folks, that's not an aggressive stock. You would think it would be, but it's just not. It's not done it over the last 18 years and 1 month. And if you take a look at the Dow Jones, this is the shocker. The Dow Jones has done 50% better than the NASDAQ. You'd have been better off investing in the Dow Jones than taking a risk on the NASDAQ. You'd have made more money. Because the Dow Jones, if you go back to 12/31/99, this just blows my mind when I look at these numbers, because the Dow closed at 11,497.12. You know, we blew through that 10,000, by the way. We blew through 10,000, ended up almost 12. The Dow Jones right now, if you go back 18 years and 1 month, it's up 6.53% per year. It outperformed the S&P and outperformed the NASDAQ. And I guarantee you there's not one financial show in America that talks about this. We're the only ones. I haven't heard anybody else, and I've challenged some economists that I know well, and I've had on the radio show. I've talked to them about it. They don't want to hear it because it doesn't fit into their model. But it's real, and you can check the numbers. I mean, I just gave you the numbers. You can go back and check them out, and you can go on Yahoo Finance and look and see what the Dow closed on 12/31/99, go back and check. It's there. But, I mean, if you would have thought, Bo, you know, when investing, historically, the S&P has more risk. The NASDAQ has the highest risk, which would mean the highest return, right?
Should, yeah.
The S&P's all 500 growth stocks. That should be better. And the Dow is the big sluggish Big 30 stocks in the country, and you'd think they'd just be chugging along. But they've actually made the most money.
Right. Well, you know, that kind of fits in with, if you think about the bigger companies that have weathered that storm, a lot of times those companies tend to do better. They pay a better dividend. They're going market up, market down. Folks are still buying diapers and Cheerios and, you know, different things like that. So a lot of those stocks that are in there, folks still got to buy. We got to drive. We're a driving country, right? So,
well, but some of those stocks no longer exist.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
And if you go back the 80 before the turn of the century, the S&P did double digit, and the Dow was in the high single returns.
Right.
But where it was running around 8.5%, and now it's the only one that's even close to what it was doing.
Right.
So, I think what that tells me is you got to be more careful in picking the individual stocks you're buying today. You got to be more careful in the strategies you're using today, because it is a different marketplace. And what I would say is, if you sit down with your advisor, and if they have a complicated formula that they don't even understand, they can't explain it to you, then I think you've answered your own question there. You need to ask them, but you know, and that's one thing Bo and I have talked about, is we believe very strongly in investing simplified. We believe very strongly in making things very simple and explainable to explain to you and teach you what we do in our portfolio. We're not unique. We have no magic. We have no magic bullets. I wish we did, but we don't. But what we do have is time-tested programs that we've used that have worked for our clients long-term. And in many cases, we've had our clients wait 2-3 times longer than most financial advisors have been in business in this town. And so we have long-term strategies that work. The problem is, yes, they work, but there are days, and sometimes there are months, and sometimes there are years where our strategy may look like it's not doing what we had hoped it would do. But that's the beauty of a strategy. If you stick with it and persistency, and Harry kind of said this on he said about his stock, and I'm going to say the same thing about that stock as I'm going to say about our strategy. If you have a strategy, the key thing is patience and sticking to the system. People get screwed up when they don't have patience and when they don't have a system and they don't follow the system. If you follow the system, it'll take care of itself and it'll work its way out. If you let emotions control you and take over what you're doing and you don't have a solid ground on the strategy, that's when people make bad decisions. That's why we tell people when a loved one passes away, you don't want to be doing any major financial decisions for at least 1 year. At least 1 year. You've got to get your feet on the ground. Or when you have a serious health problem with family members, you have stress going on that's causing outside things on your conscious of what you're doing, you can't let your emotion get caught up into that on making decisions on your investments. Because you have to take care of your environment first, and then you can take care of your investments. The biggest mistake people make is making rash decisions.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we talk about all the time the use of third-party money managers. The idea that we do that is because we have professionals, folks who, you know, I joke all the time, who are not real good at talking to other people, but they're real good at looking at numbers, and they're real good, like Harry mentioned, they're real good at watching the patterns and they pay attention, and they're separated from that emotion because we're human too. We're just as emotional when the big swings in the market happen. And so the idea being that we have a strategy, this is what we've planned, we have a roadmap, as long as we stick to it, those money managers are helping us to make those decisions non-emotionally. We talk about, we're not looking to ride the waves of the market. We're looking to eliminate conflicts out there. We're looking to eliminate conflicts in your portfolio, in your financial planning, and in your financial life. So the idea is utilize those folks who are professionals, and that way they have an eye on it. They take that hand, we take our hands off the wheel and, you know, let that autopilot drive for us. I think we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about how to plan for your retirement, how to plan for your estate, and how to take the emotions out of investing.
And if you want to give us a call, the numbers are, Bo,
503-417-9595, or toll free at 1-877-733-1011.
We'll be right back.
We do investing simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. And in the studio with me is Bo Caldwell, and Chuck Price is here. And so the two of us are holding down the fort. Kevin Stege is busy doing taxes, and Carl's got the weekend relaxing, and so we're here to kind of hold down the fort. So if you've got a question, pick up the phone, give us a call, so you don't have to hear us talk the whole time, and it'd be much better if you ask a question. So the numbers are 503-417-9595, toll free 877-733-1011. Well, you know, we usually, in the Knowledge Trust, we usually talk about things that have happened during the week and stuff. And I got to tell you, we've, you know, every year, because we've been a long-lasting practice that's been around since 1970, doing estate planning, and 75 doing investing and retirement planning. And every year we have clients pass away. It's part of our business. And one of the biggest part of our practice is estate planning. We do a lot of estate planning. And one of the things is, I think because we have a track record of doing that, plus we've worked with numerous attorneys and CPAs in the Portland-Vancouver area, and have had a history of doing things hopefully correct. And one of the things I got to tell you is, the hardest thing to do is, as we get older, and I'm getting older myself, one of the hardest things to do as you get older is to look at your mortality. But the fact is, we all have to face that mortality. And the sooner you do it, and the sooner you get a plan in place, the better off you are. And nobody likes to talk about dying. Nobody likes to talk about, you know, their heirs, what's going to happen. But here's the sad fact. If you don't do the things you have to do while you're here, and have a good mind to do it, then when you pass away, they're not going to get done. And in fact, in many cases, there's going to be people dipping into your estate that you didn't want dipping into your estate. There's going to be people sharing the cost to your heirs like you don't want to have happen. And we've seen it over and over, Bo.
Well, the number one that I pointed at you when you said that is the state, right? So the government gets their hands in there and makes those decisions. And no matter what you think about the current, you know, the current administration or past administrations or what's going on down in Salem, I don't want them deciding for me what happens with my estate. I want my wishes to be followed, and I think most folks want that too, and they don't realize, if you don't get it set up, that the state's going to be the one deciding who gets your stuff and where it goes and who pays for it. So it looks like we have another call. Sandra on the line. Sandra, you have a question about the Dow Jones?
Hello. Yes, I don't understand how one would find what a Dow Jones fund is. How do you do that?
So what a Dow Jones fund, something that tracks that? So the question may be that, how do we invest in the Dow Jones? You can't actually invest in any index individually. They do have funds that track those indexes, and you can get those through any, most any brokerage house. Vanguard has, I don't know the ticker, I can look it up for you in a second, but Vanguard has a Dow Jones index fund, Fidelity has one, T. Rowe Price has one. Pretty much all the big fund companies have a Dow Jones industrial tracking index.
So is that what you folks are recommending? You're saying the Dow Jones outperforms?
What we're really saying there is that you just need to have a little bit of diversification, and people tend to get aggressive and go into all the S&P, and the S&P is what a lot of people track, but in actuality, the big old sluggish stocks have done better than the growth stocks, and we're just pointing out that you need to have a little bit of both, and diversification is the key, but also being aware of what is going on in the marketplace, because the Dow Jones, like the S&P, the actual indexes change because companies come and companies go. I mean, who would ever thought that, you know, that Enron would disappear, or that Sears,
right?
Montgomery Wards. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, everybody went shopping at Montgomery Ward's.
Right. Well, and Sears has been, you know, they call it, you know, the blue chip factory. So the Dow Jones, Sandra, is just the 30 biggest stocks in America based on market capitalization, which means that, you know, the amount of money that's invested in them. So it's the 30 biggest stocks. And so the Dow Jones changes. The S&P 500 is the 500 biggest stocks in the, you know, in the American marketplace. And that changes occasionally, too. You'll hear, I believe it was it last year or the year before that Visa got onto the Dow? You know, so it's, that's why you can't invest directly in the index, because they are just a kind of a marker for the way the overall stock market is working. Most people, when they're investing, if you're investing in mutual funds, if you're investing in exchange-traded funds, if you're investing in index funds, you're not investing directly in that index. You're investing in an investment that tries to track what that index is tracking and do the same performance. When we talk about the fact that the Dow Jones has done better, it's just to point out, like Chuck said, that most people think you got to take more risk, and you're going to take more risk in these smaller companies, and that's going to get you better returns over time, and it could be. But we're just pointing out, hey, make sure that you have some of those sluggish, big, slow-moving stocks, because over time they have, in the last 18 years, 19 years now, it's 2019, yeah, 19 years outperformed those smaller stocks. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. Thank you so much.
You betcha.
Yeah, and you can buy index funds that track the indexes. You can also get ETFs,
right,
that track the indexes. So, and if you have any questions, just call our office. We can help you with that.
Well, thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Good question, Sandra. Very good. You know, one of the things that amazes me, Bo, we've been doing this show for a long time, and there are people like Sandra who call in and ask a question. And those are things you and I work in every single day. But this is really important for most of our listeners. They don't work in this every single day. So a question like that really makes you kind of expand on what you're talking about, so people can have a general understanding about what the Dow Jones really is.
Totally. And we talk in jargon all the time, and we're talking in between each other because we understand you're saying, you know, this is what the Dow has done, this is what the S&P has done. And it's great that she called, because then it makes us realize, hey, we need to give a little bit more explanation on that we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we call it Investing Simplified, by the way.
Right.
And one of the things I kind of laugh is I had a person come in the other day that had a proposal from somebody that probably is well-known by a lot of radio audiences anyway, and it was a very extravagant 10-page thing that I looked at, and I the first question I asked him is, do you understand this? And he looked at me and he said, no, not really. He said, can't you explain it to me? And I said, no, let me explain to you what we do. And I took out a yellow sheet of paper. I just told him in very simple terms what we do, how we handle market fluctuation, how we handle adverse times in the market, and showed him exactly on one piece of paper what we do. And he said, well, that makes a lot of sense. And I said, well, yeah, it's worked for a long, long time. It makes sense because that's the way it really is. You know. And so it's good to have a plan, but more importantly of all, it's good to have a plan you understand. We've got a caller on the phone. Ernest has got a question about setting up a trust. Ernest?
I think it's TJ, actually.
Or is it TJ? Well, you know what? We'll try to answer the question, even though our attorney isn't here. I sometimes play one on the radio, so just joking. Not really. For people out there listening, I'm not really saying that, but I think we can probably answer this question if it's a very simple question. So, TJ, your question about setting up a trust.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I'm just wondering if I need to set up a trust. You know, my house is paid for, you know, all my retirement's in a 401k with a designated beneficiary. I mean, I got a couple collector cars, but, you know, that's about it.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, TJ. What's your home worth?
About $450,000.
Okay, and how much are your cars worth?
They're probably around $100,000.
Okay, so you're looking at $550,000. Of assets outside your retirement account. I would say, are you in the state of Oregon or Washington?
Oregon.
I would absolutely say, now, do you have any heirs, direct heirs, like children or?
Yeah, I got a I'm 57, but you know my son's 14 right now.
Okay, okay. And are you married or single?
Married.
Okay. Well, then you know you've got two direct heirs: your spouse and your son. Mm-hmm. And a living trust would help both. I really think you're right at the perfect time when you should be having a living trust, also healthcare directives and durable power of attorneys, because we just don't know. But yours is a simple one. Do you have any other rental property or homes?
No.
Okay, then yours would be very simple. You could do that very economically with an attorney, but get your house in that trust. Or what some of our clients do is they keep the house in the name of the spouse and the husband, and upon the death of the first one, it goes into a trust. And the real key for the trust is, upon the death of you and your wife together, is for that house to avoid probate to go directly to your son. Or whoever's, now if it happens while your son's still a minor, who do you have that's going to take care of your son if something happens to you and your wife?
We got some close relatives that would do that.
Okay, well, you'd want to make that provision in a trust to make sure everything goes to your son, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's what a trust could do.
The big thing is to avoid someone else decide. We talked about it a little bit earlier, TJ, but to avoid, so heaven forbid something happens to you and your wife at the same time and you haven't had this set up, the money actually can't be left to a minor. All the property has to be left in a trust because minors can't run a lot of that. The idea is just you spend a little bit of money on the trust at the front end to save your heirs having to spend the money and the pain of probate on the back end, because even if you have a will, that still goes through probate, but the trust bypasses that. And so that's the idea, is it's not necessarily a specific asset level or complexity level. It's about making sure that you have all your affair, for lack of a better term, all of your affairs in order, even though, you know, you're a young man and it's not happening for a while, but it just prepares for that inevitability. The big one that Chuck mentioned too, that just I want to reiterate, is getting the durable power of attorney and the advance directives out there, because otherwise that's putting the onus on your wife and or your son to decide, you know, any sort of end of life decisions. If you're, again, heaven forbid, if you're in a situation where you can't take care of yourself and they're deciding about life support and those different things, you want to make sure your wishes are followed and that it takes the burden off of your loved ones. I had a client who just, her husband just had a coronary in in Hawaii, and the doctor said he wasn't going to come back. He was in a vegetative state, and luckily for them, she didn't have to make any decisions. He'd already outlaid what he wanted to have happen in that position. So the good news is, it's the silver lining in a terrible, terrible situation, is that she didn't have to make that decision in the space where she's not in the right mind space to be having to make those kind of decisions.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a great question.
And absolutely. And the other thing is the cost, because to do a living trust, it can run you anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000. But if you have probatable assets of $500,000 in Oregon, typically if you don't have a will and you have to go through probate, you're looking at a $10,000 to $15,000 fee for an attorney to run that through. Well, I'd much rather spend $2,000 to $5,000 than have my kids have to spend $15,000 with somebody that I don't even know.
Yeah. It sounds like with his situation, it should be more towards that $2,000 range, because it's not a lot of, there's not a crazy amount of.
Well, I'd say $2,000 to $3,000
because
of the property and stuff. But
sure.
Yeah, and the show cars. But but you just want to make sure you get it done with somebody who knows what they're doing on trusts.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You know what? We were going to take a break, but we've only got about 6 minutes here. So if you want to call in, if you got a question, give us a call right now. 877-733-1011, 503-417-9595. And give us a call.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. Hello, my name is Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney and co-host of the long-running radio talk show, Investing Simplified. My law practice emphasizes estate planning and probate. My mission statement is practical estate planning for peace of mind. This means that I listen carefully to my clients. I explain the various estate planning techniques and documents in the most understandable terms that I can. I try to make sure that my clients are comfortable with what we are doing together before proceeding, and I discuss my fees up front so the clients don't get any unwanted surprise. Estate planning and probate don't have to be that complicated. My experienced staff and I work closely with our clients to guide them through both of these matters in the simplest and most efficient manner possible. My office is located in the White Office Building at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, right across the street from Mall 205. My telephone number is 971-229-0585, and my website is carljepsenlaw.com.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Kevin Stagey.
Okay, we're back with Investing Simplified with Bo Caldwell and Chuck Price, and we've got another caller on the line. This is great. Michael's got a question about mutual funds.
Hey, I was just wondering, is there any value, you know, for a small investor to use like ETFs as a basket of investments to supplement, you know, instead of a mutual fund if you don't have the money to kind of jump into one of the big ones?
That's a great question. ETFs are great for a lot of reasons. The biggest one is the low cost. Right. So ETFs are a lot lower cost than mutual funds. And a lot of times with the expansion of ETFs now, you can find an ETF for pretty much anything that a mutual fund does. And some of them you can actually find actively traded ETFs, or they're not fully active, but they are making active movements just like a mutual fund. So the short answer is yes, absolutely. The caveat that I put in there is ETFs trade like stocks. So they trade during the business day. As opposed to when the market's open, as opposed to a mutual fund trades at the end of the day. And if you're building out the ETFs, you want to make sure that you do build a basket of them just like you would do a mutual fund. But it does have a great lower entry level than mutual funds, because a lot of times with mutual funds, like you said, you have to either have a grip of money to invest in one fund or in one fund company, and so you're kind of getting incentivized to not diversify. So you're right on track that ETFs can be a great ballast, a great balancer out for your other investments.
They're a great low-cost investment, but the one thing I will caution you with on a mutual fund versus an ETF, on an ETF, you need to be more actively on top of it and watching it. I consider both ETFs and mutual funds as passive investments. Actively managed investments are really actively managed portfolios where you're paying somebody to actively move that money on a constant basis, where some ETFs may move every quarter or every 6 months, and some mutual funds, depending on the criteria of their portfolio. So neither one of those are totally active comparing to an active managed portfolio. So you've got to be aware of it. But cost-wise, you can get an ETF for 20 basis points, very, very inexpensive. So, but you need to be watching it, and you need to be watching that.
Okay, awesome. That was where my thought was going, and I appreciate y'all's feedback on that.
Absolutely. Good luck, Michael. Hope it works out for you. Thank you very much for calling. Well, listen, I do want to mention here that some things that I think is very, very important. Do not forget, and Bo and I the last couple of weeks have been meeting with a lot of people on their 401ks, because it's a new year. People are looking at doing repositioning and maybe moving it. Don't forget, there are many, many companies in the Portland, Vancouver area that we can help you with your 401k. You know, there's people like Kaiser Hospitals, there's people like Legacy, there's people like Providence, there's people like PG, Portland General Electric. A lot of people we've talked with, I had a guy with Portland General Electric come in this past week. You know, there's a lot of areas where we can help you on your 401k, help you set up a portfolio to help you. Bo, how's somebody get a hold of you?
You can call us at 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can find us out near Mall 205 or our new West Side location off of Varn Street and 72nd, right near the intersection of I-5 and 217.
And if you want to get a hold of us, check out pfgwm.com. We also have links on there for Carl and Kevin, also for Sherry McCants, also for our people who do reverse mortgages. So you can check that out on our website. We have some preferred people that we work with that we know will do a good job for you. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll be back next week with Investing Simplified. Have a great week, and God bless you all.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called AssetLock. AssetLock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers AssetLock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have AssetLock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get AssetLock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.